I am challenging everybody this morning, men, women, children, everybody. And I'm kind of not even doing it personally. I'm hoping that you will take the challenge, not so much from me, but from the Apostle Paul. And so I'm going to ask you to do this. I'm going to ask you just to sit back and relax, and let's have a conversation this morning. And the first thing I want you to do is I want you to use your imagination. I want you to just imagine for a moment that God allowed the Apostle Paul to, you know who the Apostle Paul is. He was Saul. He was persecuting the church. He was blinded on the road to Damascus, and Jesus called him personally to basically lead the New Testament church. He was the apostle to the Gentiles. Now, I want to ask you to imagine that God has allowed him to return to earth, and he has written you a personal letter. And he is saying, and maybe to our church, and he's saying, hey, New Hope, I plan to come to you sometime in the near future. Can't tell you exactly when, but I plan to be there fairly soon. And if you can imagine that, and if there were something that he said that he wanted you to do, or he wanted us to do, would you at least consider doing it? Okay, so those five of you, congrats, good for you, good for you. Now the rest of you, I'm going to ask that again. I mean, if the Apostle Paul said it, if Paul said, look, and listen, and he's not going to ask you for money, not going to ask you to get rid of your bad habits, not going to ask you to make any major changes, it's something you can easily do. I didn't ask you if you will promise to do it, but I'm asking you, would you consider doing whatever the Apostle Paul wrote to you and said, until I get to you, until I come, here's what I want you to do. Would you consider doing it? Okay. So let's take a look at what he said, because honestly, he actually did say this to Timothy, and let me just say, when he said it to Timothy, by extension, he's saying it to us, because that's how the Bible works, right? When Jesus said to love your neighbor as yourself, he was speaking to his 12, the 11 who became the apostles, but we understand he was also speaking to us, yes? Do we agree about that? So Paul is talking to us as well. It's as if he wrote us a personal letter and said, there's something I want you to do before I get there. So let's consider what he said. And here we go. So 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 13, he is writing to his protege, a young man, Timothy. He said, till I come. So in other words, he said, I'm getting ready to ask you to do something. And I want you to start today. I want you to start right now, and I want you to continue this. I want you to make this a part of your life until I get there. And he said, as we continue on, he said, till I come, give attention to, look at the next word, to reading. Give attention to reading. And he said, look, I want you to read. I want you to read. I want you to spend some time reading. Now, I'll expound on that here in just a minute, but he actually said three things. Let me just go ahead and show you the entire verse. He said, give attention to reading, to exhortation, which means to encourage or to motivate, and to doctrine, which means to instruct from your own personal study. That's kind of what the words mean in the Greek. But I'm talking mainly about this thing that he said, give attention to reading. And now I know many of you would say, well, okay, so this is a message about reading our Bibles. Actually, no, it's actually not. I'll come back to that in a minute. But you realize when Paul was writing to Timothy, there was no Bible. You follow me? Now Timothy had access to some things. Look, you know, and by the way, Timothy's mother was Jewish. His father was actually a Greek, so he wasn't even really completely fully trained necessarily in Judaism, but he had access to some things. He had access to the Torah, which is the first five books of the Old Testament. He had access to probably some of the prophets and the books of poetry and all of that. But that's not what Paul said here. And there was no Bible. The Bible actually wouldn't come along for 300 years. Now, Timothy may have had some of Paul's letters. He may have had a few. There may have been some writings that were being passed around at the time. Maybe some of the Gospels that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John had penned. And we don't really know for sure what he had access to. But we do know that he wasn't saying read the Bible. He was just simply saying, I want you to give some attention to reading. Now, having said that, let me just say this. So if I am not telling you this morning. I'm not going to preach to you this morning about reading your Bible. Frankly, can I just state the obvious? You are sitting in a church this morning. Isn't reading your Bible kind of a given? I mean, do I really need to preach about that? I mean, do I have to? I mean, you are fully aware that reading your Bible is a part of being a Christian, right? So I'm not saying that Paul didn't want Timothy to read whatever scriptures he had. I'm saying to you and to me, I'm not talking about it this morning because, frankly, me telling you to read your Bible, Robert, is about like me telling you to eat breakfast. Right? You may do it some days, you may not do it other days, but it's not like I have to tell you to do it. So please know, I certainly would love for you to read your Bible. I just think that's a given. Right? Okay, well. So here's the point. So when he said, Timothy, I'm going to come see you. And before I get there, I want you to give some attention to reading. The Bible, let me just say this, the Bible is the good book, yes? The Bible is the good book, but it's not the only good book. It's not the only good book. It's not the only book you can learn from. There are some of you, you're looking at me like, I don't know, I have any idea what you're doing this morning, Pastor. I already warned you this was unusual, and frankly, you already know that I'm unusual, so back off. Right? Well, Larry found the word amen in his vocabulary. Atta boy, Larry. Listen. Now, all of our young people in the room, which includes me, all of our young people in the room. Now, listen. You've grown up in a different world than many of the folks who are a little bit older. But so can we just be nostalgic for just a couple of moments? How many of you, maybe your life was like mine as a child. As when I was a child, I grew up in a rural area of Indiana. And my elementary school was very small, did not have its own library, and there was this bus that used to come around every couple of weeks. How many of you have ever stepped up onto a bookmobile? Wasn't that a wonderful, wonderful thing? I mean, I can still remember being a child stepping up into that, but it was such a wonderful time. You step up into that bookmobile and you're surrounded by these four walls of books, and you knew that every one of those books was a door to someplace else. It was a door to some other world or some other part of time. It was a different life. You know, it was just a wonderful, I loved when the bookmobile would come. You could pick out, you got to get on there and you got to pick anything you wanted. And by the way, back in the days, at least when I was there, my mom and dad didn't have to worry about what kind of foolishness was on that bookmobile. They could trust the books that were there. That's why I have a contest for our kids where they have to read books that are at least 50 years old. Because I don't have time to try to figure out whether I can trust the things that are being written today. There are probably some good stuff out there. I don't know. But I don't have time to inspect them and read them, so that's just kind of part of that. But the point is, I love that bookmobile, didn't you? How many of you had a favorite series of books that you read? I mean, what did you read, Harold? Hardy Boys. Hardy Boys. How many of you read the Hardy Boys? You know, what else? What else? What'd you read? Babysitter's Club. What'd you read? Okay. What'd you read, Jason? Oh, I thought you were going to say the Encyclopedia Britannica. I thought, what a weirdo. Man, I knew you were strange, but wow. Encyclopedia Brown, okay. What do you got? Ava. Okay, all right. Good stuff, okay. Laura Ingalls Wilder books, okay? So look, we have these fond memories. Herman? Was that in Sumerian when you were a boy? Is that what they... Yeah, so Tom Sawyer and the Funny Paper. You know, that's the thing. You know, people, you know, a lot of adults read today. A lot of older folks read today. They read the obituaries and the comics, right? But listen, those were great days, weren't they? It was great days. Wonderful days. You read those series and you know all that. So can I ask a question? What happened? You know, What happened? I know the obvious answer is life happened, right? You know, you grew up and got jobs and all of that, had kids, maybe a family and all that. But what happened to that excitement, that enjoyment of being able to open up a book and actively, not passively, but actively take yourself somewhere else and learn? And what happened? What happened? Yeah, I know. It was, see, because when many of us were children, TV was three channels. And basically it was, now Saturday mornings were great. Okay, Saturday morning cartoons was wonderful. You know, a bowl of Fruit Loops and Saturday morning cartoons, and those were great days. But basically, for the most part, other than that, you had to watch whatever your parents watched, and they were always watching Hee-Haw and Lawrence Welk. So frankly, listen, so I'd rather go read a book, right? Or go do something outside. Oh, heaven forbid that happens today. But you do something physical. But so here's the thing. You know, and I know that happened. So TV happened, and cable came along about 40 years ago and expanded all those channels, and then there was the internet, of course, and everything that we have today. And today it's you know, today most adults spend far more time reading this thing here, reading 168 characters at a time, instead of a good piece of classic literature. Now, Hosea chapter 4, God said something in Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. He said, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And what he meant when he wrote that, the word knowledge there, it literally means wisdom gained from study. Wisdom gained from study. He said, my people are destroyed because they don't study anything. They're not learning. They're not gaining wisdom because they don't study anything. They don't read anything. And so we are a society of people. We have become a society of people that we basically experience life. Now, again, I know there's exceptions. Please don't, maybe you're different and good for you. But by and large, we are a society that experiences life 30 or 60 minutes at a time because that's the length of prime time episodes of TV shows. And that's how people experience life. You know, we have become a society that is passively entertained. Passively entertained. You don't have to work at it. You just have to turn the TV on, or just have to pull up Netflix or something like that. And again, I'm not saying that those are all evil. I'm not one of those that says if you own a television, you know, that you're on your way to hell. That's not the case at all. But I'm saying that, you know, we've become a society that's pretty much all that happens. There's so much of this. You know, there's so much reading of Facebook and so little reading of anything good. And so, now again, I think you're well within your rights to sit here and say, you know, Pastor, do you really think God cares about books? Do you really think God cares about whether or not we read and about books? Well, I don't know. Let's ask him. Let's see what God has to say about the whole thing. Take a look at Psalm chapter 90 and verse 9. God is actually, in this verse, he is describing life here. Look at the metaphor, the simile that he uses here. He says, for all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a what? As a tale that is told. A tale that is told. I remember reading, the different tales or fables and, you know, Aesop's fable, things like that, reading those stories. He's talking about tales, talking about stories that are written down and told and so forth. Take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 33. He uses the illustration here, a metaphor of being an author. For God is not the author of confusion, but he is an author, yes? Hey, and this isn't the only book. We're going to find out here in a minute. This isn't the only book he's written, folks. This is the book. Please don't misunderstand what I'm saying, and don't walk out of here and say, oh, Pastor said the Bible's not important. That's not true. The Bible's very important, but it's not the only book God ever wrote. I'll show you that here in a minute. But he's not the author of confusion. Pair this with the book of Hebrews in chapter number 12, and notice in verse number 2, looking unto Jesus, the what? The author and finisher of our faith. God calls himself an author. He calls Jesus an author. It seems like God may have some interest in books. even if we don't. How about this? How about Revelation chapter 20? Let's just skip to the end. I mean, I could give you dozens and dozens of examples, but let's just take a look. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. This is the end of the book, by the way, folks, the end of the book. And the books were opened. The books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to what's written in the books and so forth. Take a look a few verses later, verse number 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Look, we know these verses, yes? God has books. The book of the Revelation is a book about books being opened, scrolls being opened, and when that happens, big things happen. When God opens up a book, and when God writes a book, and I think God has gifted some people to write some books, and has in the past, and so on. The point is, so let's go back to the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was in prison near the end of his life. He knew he was about to be killed for his faith. He knew that his final days were coming. He knew that his captors were going to kill him because he had been preaching the gospel and for all the stands that he had taken. And so in his final days, in his final weeks of life, he wrote to Timothy, and he asked Timothy to bring him some things. And he didn't ask Timothy to bring him people. He didn't ask him to bring him food. He didn't say, hey, bring me a cake with a file in it. He didn't bring any of that. He didn't ask for any of that stuff. Can I show you what he asked for? He asked, the cloak, the coat that I left at Troas with Carpus, when you come, bring it with you. And the what? And the books. And the books. And especially the parchments. The parchments probably were those portions of scripture that he had. But notice, he asked for a coat. Because I could see him sitting in prison. He wanted to sort of snuggle down with some books. You see that toward the end of his life. He obviously thought it was pretty important. And then, of course, the last one I'll give to you today. Again, we could go all through Scripture, but the last thing was something that the Apostle John wrote about Jesus. And he said in chapter 21 and verse 25, there are many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose even the world itself could not contain the books. Now, here's the point. Here's the point for us today. None of these things were written to children. None of these things were written to children. Well, they are, but not just to children, right? You see, look, we all think that children reading is important, don't we? Do we think that? Yes. Are we a little concerned about our public school systems today in large part because children aren't reading books anymore? We are, yes? But why do we think it's only for kids? Why do we have the idea sometimes that it's only for children? Let's go back let's hear from Paul again one last time in 1 Timothy chapter 4. And he said this again in verse 13. He said, until I come, give attention to reading and so forth. But he said, give attention to reading. But can I show you what he said right before this? Just before he said, Timothy, you need to read. Timothy, I want you to spend some time, spend some good time until I come reading. The verse right before this is one that you probably already know if you've been in church very much at all. Take a look at verse 12. He said, let no one despise your youth, but be thou an example to the believers. Right? So put these two things together. Then he said, verse 13. He said, look, you've got to be the example, Timothy. He said, Timothy, I know you're young. You got to be the example. Now, don't you think, is it just me? Or does it seem like it's a shame that Paul had to say, Timothy, I know you're young, but you've got to be the example? Okay, I'm going to fall off the platform if I have to lean forward. Should it be the youth that are the examples? Should the youth of our world be the examples, or should the older folks be the examples? Are the children the examples, or are the parents the examples? Are the children the examples, or are the grandparents the examples? That's how it's supposed to work, right? Well, shouldn't it work in this too? Because he said, then give attention to reading, so be an example in that. Okay, it just got real, didn't it? See, you know, it's sad that Timothy as a youth had to be the example for the older generations. Parents, got to talk to all the young parents for a minute. You tell your children to read, yes? By the way, if you don't tell your children to read, please do. but listen, but it doesn't do any good for you to say, go read a book, and you're doing this. You go read a book. Or you're doing, how does the video game work? Something like this? Go read a book. Go read a book and leave me alone. Be an example. Be an example, mom and dad. Be an example, grandparents. You know, how many of you grandparents, you're like me and you wish that giving a gift of a subscription to a book club wouldn't be considered lame? Well, let me tell you something, and I'm going to put my grandchildren on notice. I don't care. They got plenty of toys, more than they need, that they don't play with. They got plenty of, look, they can go to school and get on a tablet. They can go to school and get on a computer. They can do all those things. I'm putting books in their hands from now on. Now, I understand, you know, it's pretty hard for them to see me as lame in anything because, you know. What are you laughing at, Jenny? Look. Be an example. Let's stop caring about things that are, let's stop caring about pleasing children and start doing what's best for them. Start doing what's good for them. And what's good for them is for them to see the kind of behavior we want to see out of them in us. We can talk a big game, we can tell them what to do, but they're paying attention to how we live. So I'm challenging you. I'm challenging you. So, oh yeah, of course I'm, again, read your Bible, of course. But again, that you know that, you're here. If you came to church today and that was a foreign concept to you, well, I'm so glad you're here because you need to be. We'll lead you to the Lord here in just a couple minutes if you let us. But listen, we need to be an example, you know, but it's not just for them. It's for us. You know, reading sharpens the mind. Reading sharpens the mind. Watching TV makes you stupid. I'm not saying it's all bad. I'm not saying that. I'm just telling you, watching TV dulls your mind. Reading sharpens your mind. Period. Reading builds you a vocabulary. Do you know why there's so much cussing in our world today? And again, please understand, I'm not, well, that hit home, huh, Angie? You give yourself away when you do that. Man. Hey, listen, do you want to know why cussing is so prevalent these days? Why it's four-letter, you know why they call them four-letter words? Because that's all the people who cuss a lot, that's all the words they know. You can't handle multiple syllables. Listen, I didn't come here to mess around today. You didn't come here to mess around today. I'm just telling you, the cuss words are the refuge of people who don't have a vocabulary to express themselves well with good words. See, if you've got a good vocabulary, you don't have to cuss. You can make your point with good words. Okay, I'll be the first one to admit there are some times where it does effectively communicate better than other things. That doesn't make it right. Listen, seriously, but it's true. It builds your vocabulary. You'll learn new words. You build your vocabulary. You'll be, look, reading makes you smarter. It just does. Now, look, again, and please understand, I know you say, well, Pastor, this is hurtful to me because I don't read very well. You can get anything today on audiobooks, but I would encourage you, go get yourself a hard copy and follow along while you're listening to that audiobook. You will become a better reader and you will get some of that really good stuff in your head. If your children don't read very well, that's okay. Go ahead and get those audiobooks and follow along and read to them, work with them, all those kind of things. That's all good stuff. But there's something about having a hard copy. And by the way, there's something about having a hard copy of God's Word too. I'm not against tablets. I'm not against using your phone and all that. But frankly, you can't write a note outside on your phone. You can read the Bible on your phone. You can't study the Bible on your phone. My opinion, just my opinion. I'm just trying to encourage you today to read. I'm trying to challenge you. I know I'm provoking a little bit today, and that's on purpose. I'm trying to challenge you, particularly, look, again, every adult in here believes this is a great thing. So I'm going to have a kids reading contest for this summer. I believe every adult in this room probably thinks that is a great investment of their time during the summertime when they're off. Yes? Well, isn't it yours too? Wouldn't it be a good investment of your time too? Especially classic literature. Classic literature. Literature that was written without worrying about how they had to get it so dumbed down so that anybody could read it. Just classic literature. Where you have to work at it a little bit. You got to think about it a little bit. You know, I'm going to have this contest for our kids, and I've put some suggestions on here for books, but they're just suggestions. Again, it's completely open. As long as it's an older book, as long as it's older classic literature, they can read anything they want to. Obviously, any book of the Bible counts. So, frankly, they're going to put a ticket into a jar every time they read a book during the summertime. There's going to be drawings at the end, and you know, frankly, some of you could. And it's going to be for adults too, by the way. Because I want to challenge you and I want to help you. You could get 5 or 6 tickets in there in about half an hour by reading books like Job and 2nd and 3rd John, if you're familiar with those. They're just little bitty books. Or you could watch The Kardashians. I don't know. I don't watch primetime TV. I mean, I'm sure that's so educational. Watching all those Holly weirdos and all the things they do, and I mean, so here's the thing. I gotta find a landing place for this. Again, I would be thrilled. I would be ecstatic if some of you would get together and decide you're going to read the same books. You're going to read the same books. And yeah, just form a little book club, you know, and you're all going to read again, get together every couple of weeks. Look, I will join you. I will read with you. I will come and I will join you and I will do that with you. I would be happy. I would be thrilled to do that because, number one, it gets some good material inside our minds, and secondly, it gets fellowship with good people. Your fellowship with the people in this room is better than your fellowship with anybody on TV. I promise you. Promise you. Yeah, who said, were you talking about Laura Ingalls Wilder or Mary? Is that you? Who said that? Oh, Sarah. Sarah said that. You'd be so much better off spending time with that family rather than one of these new modern families that are on TV. I'm just telling you the truth. Did you want to say something, Catherine? We don't allow that here. No. Go ahead, say it nice and loud. Yes. Read with your children. There you go. There you go. And she is still being talked about today. She is still being talked about all over the town of Athens today for the things that she encouraged people to do. So she'd be happy with this. So here's the thing. You know, look, here I'm just going to, let me just say this and let me wrap this up. Would you please give this a try? Would you please give it a try? Grandparents, I please get behind this with your grandkids. Moms and dads, please get behind this with your children. It may not be popular at first. They may not like it at first. Because we have trained them. Look, they've grown up in a world that we have all adopted. We adopted this whole digital thing. We adopted this whole playtime. And again, play should be good. But by the way, you know, play outside. Make kids play outside. Let them get dirty. Let them eat dirt. I'm serious. We're so weak because we don't eat dirt anymore. Kids wash their hands all the time. I'm just telling you, it doesn't help. People aren't any healthier today. They're not more resistant to viruses. But there are some of us, we ate dirt and we never washed our hands. I mean, we're pretty much impervious now. But listen, that's not the message. It's not the message. Look, pick anything. Pick some, but read some books. You know, I just get behind it. If your child struggles, if you struggle, there's plenty of options out there. There's plenty of help for that. Here's how committed my wife and I are to this. Here's how committed my wife and I are to your children. We're putting up $400 of our own money for prizes, at least. Okay, I'm gonna give you away. You know, here's how stupid I am. So I'm thinking, okay, what kind of prize am I going to give away? I know, I'll give away like an Xbox. Wait. That ranks right up there in stupidity is when I was going to coat the chicken in, where's Roy? I was going to coat the chicken in breading made out of pork rinds for the Jewish Seder we had. It's like, wait, that's even worse than leaven to the Jews. But no, we're going to give away four $100 gift cards to Amazon. That way you can buy books if you want to. Two to the kids and two to the adults. Now that's how committed I am to your kids. How committed are you to your kids? Your grandkids. That's how committed I am to you. I want you to read. I want you to better yourself. I want us to become a people that are well-rounded and we can relate to the community around us so that we can then bring them to the good book, right? And frankly, we'll understand this book better the more we read. And we'll also keep ourselves from an awful lot of really, really harmful stuff. Because frankly, you damage your spirit every time you read the news. I'm just telling you it's my opinion. I could probably prove it if I had enough time. We damage ourselves with some of the things we watch. We damage ourselves. We harm ourselves. We hurt our spirit. We depress ourselves more. You want to know why I don't know what depression feels like? It's not because I'm better somehow than some of you that struggle with that. I think part of that is I'm sure it's physiological. Part of it's just that I'm just weird. But a big part of it, frankly, is that I just don't wade into that cesspool. I don't get involved in, I don't do the social media, and I don't do the, and I'm not faulting you for doing it. You want to do it, God bless you. I don't do it. I don't hear all the bad news. I get plenty of bad news when I counsel people, which I do all week long, but I'm able to stay on topside because I only read things that are encouraging. And frankly, I'm as bad as some of you are about watching TV because sometimes I just want to sit down and I want to be entertained. But I'm going to change that. I'm going to lead the way in this, and I encourage you to do the same. So let me just say, as I close here, so we're going to have this, and by the way, you can read about anything you want to. Robert, there's all kinds of great history books, aren't there? I mean, enjoyable history books, not like we was in high school. Not the required reading, but the interesting stuff, you know? Look, here's the thing. So I'm going to ask you to do me a favor, and I'm going to ask you just to assume for a moment. Again, use your imagination now. And instead of what we understand, this was written by the Apostle Paul to Timothy. Can I ask you to just for a moment, again, because how many of us believe this is a letter written to us from God? Yes? You could put Dear Dwayne on the first page, and you could put Love God at the end of it, and it would be perfectly accurate. This is a love letter from God to you and to me. So can we just, instead of thinking about the Apostle Paul talking to Timothy, can we read this like it's Jesus talking to us? And his last message to us is this: till I come, give attention to reading. We want him to come, yes? We want him to find us being faithful to what he said. That's my challenge. Now listen, you, and I'm done. Please listen. Sorry. Please listen, and I am done. You can say, well, you know, that's all fine and good. You put that out there, but I'm not really going to make a decision one way or the other. No, you are going to make a decision to this challenge. It's just like accepting or not accepting the offer Jesus makes to save you. There's a yes and there's a no. There is no, I'll think about it, that's a no. There is no, well, I'll, you know, maybe. No, that's a no. You either accept Christ as your Savior or you don't when you've been confronted. And I've confronted you with reading. Please consider it. That's all I'm asking.